when we look at our lives, we can see all kinds of ways that we're very fortunate, and also ways that we're unfortunate. Ways that we experience happiness and ways that we suffer. We can see parts of our lives where maybe things are very secure and we don't have to worry. We can see other parts of our lives where we constantly have problems and experience sadness. We can also look at other people's lives as well and see how there's a real mixture. The Buddha explained that there are some realms of rebirth that are exclusively pleasant, that the only suffering comes when they have to pass away, that there's no any kind of physical suffering at all. He also taught that there are some realms to be reborn, like the hell realms, where it's exclusively painful, that there's no happiness at all to be found. But the human world is a place where there's a mixture. In the grand scheme of things, it's mostly pleasant when we look at the other realms of rebirth. And we talked about this a little bit last week when we learned about the five different realms of rebirth. So the human world is a place where we experience a mixture, right? We're not constantly being tormented, most of us, but we're also not constantly experiencing happiness, right? Real happiness comes just in little spurts. A lot of it is just very, very neutral. So, when the Buddha was alive, someone went to him and asked him about this situation. Because if we don't understand karma and its results, we might say, yes, there's people in the world who are very fortunate, and then there's this other group of people that are unfortunate. And fortunate people should just experience good fortune, and unfortunate people, they just experience suffering. But we can actually see that people in some ways are very fortunate, but also have these bad situations that come to them. So this discussion took place in Savati, Anathapindika's monastery, and a lay disciple named Queen Mallika. So Queen Mallika was the wife of King Pasenadi. So Savati is this northern city that was ruled by a king, King Pasenadi, and his chief queen was Mallika. Mallika actually came from a very humble background. She wasn't nobility, but the king saw her and was captivated by her and brought her to the palace and married her. We also know that at first King Pasenadi didn't have a lot of confidence in the Buddha. And he even at one point mocked Queen Mallika for her confidence in the Buddha. And many times she was able to influence the king, to get him to stop doing bad things, to get him to develop his wisdom. That, in fact, in many ways we can see that Queen Mallika was a bit sharper than King Pasenadi. And so as a wise person with confidence in the Buddha, when she had a question about life, she went to him to ask. So this Queen Malika approached the Blessed One, paid homage to him, sat down to one side, and said to him, "Bhante, why is it that some women here are ugly, ill-formed, and unsightly, poor, destitute, indigent, and lacking influence?" So, three qualities, ugly, poor, and uninfluential. She says, some women we can see have all three of those. "And why is it that some are ugly, ill-formed, and unsightly, but rich, with great wealth and property, and influential?" So, second one, not nice to look at, but wealthy and powerful. Third one, "Why is it that some women here are beautiful, attractive, and graceful, possessing supreme beauty of complexion, but poor, destitute, and indigent, and lacking influence?" So, third one, very beautiful, but poor and uninfluential. And the fourth one, "Why is it that some are beautiful, attractive, and graceful, possessing supreme beauty of complexion, rich, with great wealth and property, and influential?" So she noticed this in the world, that some people, and specifically she was asking about women, some have everything going for them, but others have this mixture, or some have nothing, you know, none of these four qualities. They're not nice to look at, they're very poor, they don't have any material comforts, and they're insignificant. They don't have any power in the world, no influence on even the people that live in their own household. So she asks, she wants to know, why is it that this happens? Because if we just think that there is good people in the world and bad people in the world, and that good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people, then it doesn't make any sense why someone could be so fortunate in some ways, but very unfortunate in others. And so the Buddha says, "Hear, Malika, some woman is prone to anger and easily exasperated. Even if she is criticized slightly, she loses her temper and becomes irritated, hostile, and stubborn. She displays anger, hatred, and bitterness. She does not give things to ascetics or Brahmins, food and drink, clothing, vehicles, garlands, scents, and lotions, bedding, dwelling, and lighting. And she is envious, one who envies, resents, and begrudges the gain, honor, and respect, esteem, homage, and worship given to others." So, she has three qualities. She gets angry very easily, and even though, because of the question that she asked, the Buddha's talking about women, we know that it doesn't matter, men or women, doing these actions has the same results. So gets angry very easily. We know people like that, right? You point out some little thing that they've done wrong and they explode. Or maybe even you're not. Some people, you don't even criticize them, but they think that you're criticizing them and then they get angry, right? Some people, they're always right on the verge of getting upset, getting irritated. Second action, very stingy, doesn't give things away, has the opportunity to give things away, but doesn't. We can also see people like that. We learn about one ghost. So last week we learned about the ghost realm, and there was one ghost who was asked, you know, how did you get here? How did this happen to you? And she said, some monks came to my house looking for alms food, and I lied. I said, I don't have anything here. There's nothing to eat here, right? If I do have something to eat here and I'm lying, then may my food turn to pus and blood. Yeah, don't make an oath like that. Right, lying is one thing, but she took it all the way and made this oath. And so, because of her greediness, because of the lie that she told, because of this oath that she swore, she had to be reborn as a ghost, eating pus and blood. Yeah. So we see people like that, that are very stingy, even stingy to the point of telling lies. And then the third quality, envious. She's envious, one who envies, resents, and begrudges the gain, honor, and respect, esteem, homage, and worship given to others. So we can also see people like that in the world, right? They're always very jealous when they hear about good things happening to someone else. They become unhappy. They want those things for themselves and think that they can get those things by being envious, by not being happy with the gain that comes to other people. Right? We can see that people who drive around and they see people, you know, see somebody driving a really nice car, especially here on St. Mary's, you can see some really nice cars. And, you know, maybe it's just this young kid and we think, they don't deserve that car, right? Surely their parents just gave them that car. They didn't do anything to actually earn it, right? It's an easy, it even seems kind of innocent, right? These thoughts just come to our mind because maybe we heard our parents saying those things or our friends say those kinds of things, and they pop into our mind. Or we see a huge house and we criticize, thinking, ugh, what an ugly big old house, right? There's even the term McMansion, right, to criticize these quickly built houses, right? Thinking, they don't deserve that. Right? When we see people who have become very powerful, right, we criticize them. Right? So. The Buddha says this person who has these three characteristics. So, do you remember the first one?
Cooking.
Gets angry. Second one.
Envious.
No, that's the third one.
Oh, sorry.
Greedy. They're very greedy. They don't practice generosity, and then the third one, they're envious. They don't. They're not made happy by the good fortune of others. The Buddha says, when she passes away from that state, if she comes back to this world, meaning the human world, wherever she is reborn, she is ugly, ill-formed, and unsightly, poor, destitute, and indigent. And third, lacking in influence. So, if other previously done karma results in being reborn in the human world, right, because those three kinds of action don't in and of themselves result in a human rebirth, right? So some, it's good to remember that some karma ripens determining where we land, right? Other karma ripens once we've landed there. And so this person who was born as a human, despite having done these three types of action, they must have had some wholesome action that they did, either in that life or some previous that landed them this possibility of a human rebirth. That when they take rebirth in a human world, then they experience the negative results of those actions that they've done. It's it's important as we learn about karma to understand that that these aren't kind of punishments that are meted out by some heavenly being, right? It's not the Buddha that's causing these things to happen to people. It's just a natural law. Just like gravity, right? When you throw something up, gravity pulls it back down. Or when you have a seed for like a piece of corn, right? That seed, it's only going to grow a stalk of corn, right? If you have an apple seed, it's only going to grow an apple tree, right? It's just not possible for it to grow something else. So these actions that we do, they're like seeds, right? That once you've got this seed, when the right things come to have that seed sprout, then it can only result in one direction, in painful actions. Now, it's also important to remember that it's not possible for us to know exactly how things happened to us, right? That when we think about these things, we have to think about them in general. The Buddha said if we try to think too much about exactly, okay, well, I'm very uninfluential. Maybe it was because of this thing that I said to that person, or maybe I was jealous when I was a child, or maybe in some future life I was jealous. Maybe I was, who knows what, right? That we just can't see those things for ourselves. And the Buddha said that trying to figure out those things very directly for ourselves, first of all, it doesn't help us knowing how it is that we got here in some specific way. It's not beneficial. And as well, the Buddha said that it's just too hard to ponder, that you could even go insane from trying to figure all that out. It's just the mind of a very developed person that can see those things, the mind of a Buddha. So then the second type of person, the Buddha says, another woman is prone to anger and easily exasperated. Even if she's criticized slightly, she loses her temper and becomes irritated, hostile, and stubborn. She displays anger, hatred, and bitterness. But she does give things to ascetics and Brahmins. Food and drink, clothing and vehicles, garlands, scents and lotions, bedding, dwelling, and light. And she is without envy, one who does not envy, resent, or begrudge the gain, honor, respect, esteem, homage, and worship given to others. So, a mixture of actions. Right? Her mind gets angry very easily. She's happy to give, and she's very eager to rejoice in the good things that happen to others, sees good things happening to people, and is really happy, thinking, yes, they must have done good things in the past, right? Because good fortune like that, it doesn't come from nowhere. But she gets angry, right? We can see that there are some people who they have some really admirable qualities, but yet there's this problem, right? You don't want to get them mad. You avoid interacting with them because of that. So the Buddha says, when she passes away from that state, if she comes back to this world, wherever she is reborn, she is ugly, ill-formed, and unsightly, but she is rich, with great wealth and prosperity, and is influential. So even though she doesn't have physical beauty, right, she's very powerful, has a lot of money, can do things with that money, can get ordinary kinds of happiness, can make other people happy, and she She has influence. Right? We can see that in the world. People, especially people who are wealthy, those two things seem to go together quite often, that they have lots of influence. The people around them trust them, go to them for advice, and they can make things happen in the world. Right? And we can see that, right? Sometimes there are politicians who are very wealthy, very influential, but in the looks department, not doing so well, right? It wasn't their looks that got them elected. But yet, they have this influence in the world. Maybe you could push the picture. The Buddha says, still another woman is not prone to anger or often exasperated. Even if she is criticized a lot, she does not lose her temper and become irritated, hostile and stubborn. She does not display anger, hatred, and bitterness. But she does not give things to ascetics and Brahmins, food, clothing, shelter, and so on. And she is envious, one who envies, resents, and begrudges the gain, honor, respect, esteem, homage, and worship given to others. So she has a different set of qualities that never gets angry, even if provoked, but is very stingy, doesn't like to give things away, and doesn't get happy seeing the good things happening to other people. So the Buddha says, when she passes away from that state, if she comes back to this world, wherever she is reborn, so can we see the pattern already? What's going to happen? She never got angry, so what? She'll be very beautiful. She never gave things away, so she'll be very what?
Poor.
Yeah. And she was very envious of the good fortune of others, the gain of others, so she'll be very uninfluential. Right? We have this idea about how it is that we become right influential, and we think, you know, if we praise other people's good fortune, right, if we rejoice in that it somehow pushes us down, that it makes us seem like less. But the Buddha explains that it's actually the opposite, that this happiness in the welfare of others, right, it actually lifts us up. Right? Because when we look at it, we can see that envy and jealousy, it's a whole mixture of unwholesome things, right? It's greed, right? It's our own greed. It's looking down on other people, thinking that they don't deserve those things. So we can see it's a powerful karma. It's a powerful way that we can use our mind. And still another woman, so this is the fourth, not prone to anger or often exasperated, and she gives things to ascetics or Brahmins, and she is without envy, one who does not envy, resent, or begrudge the gain, honor, respect, esteem, homage, and worship given to others. So, doesn't get angry, is very generous, and doesn't begrudge other people their good fortune. So when she passes away from that life, if she comes back to the human world, those things can ripen how?
Beautiful.
Great beauty,
rich.
Very wealthy, and
influential.
So, yes, the Buddha says, when she passes away from that state, if she comes back to this world, wherever she is born, she is beautiful, attractive, and graceful, possessing supreme beauty of complexion, rich, with great wealth and property, and influential. So the Buddha says, this Malika is why some women here are ugly, ill-formed and unsightly, poor, destitute and indigent, and lacking in influence. This is why some are ugly, ill-formed and unsightly, but rich, with great wealth and property and influential. This is why some women here are beautiful, attractive and graceful, possessing supreme beauty of complexion, but are poor, destitute and indigent, and lacking in influence. This is why some are beautiful, attractive, and graceful, possessing supreme beauty of complexion, rich with great wealth and property, as well as influential. So, because this Queen Malika is someone who is eager to learn the Dhamma, and someone who understands that that it's important to apply these teachings to our own lives, this is exactly what she does. She says, "I suppose, Bhante, that in some earlier life, I was prone to anger and often exasperated, that even when I was criticized slightly, I lost my temper and became irritated, hostile, and stubborn, and displayed anger, hatred, and bitterness. Therefore, I am now ugly, ill-formed, and unsightly." So I guess she wasn't, at least at this point in her life, she didn't feel that she was very beautiful. So she thinks, yes, in some previous life, I must have been angry all the time. I must have had this habit of being irritated. She thinks, "But I suppose that in some earlier life, I gave things to ascetics or Brahmins, food, shelter, clothing, medicine, beds, dwellings, lighting, and so on. Therefore, I am now rich with great wealth and property. And I suppose that in some earlier life, I was without envy, not one who envied, resented, and begrudged the gain, honor, respect, esteem, homage, and worship given to others. Therefore, I am now influential. In this court, there are girls of Kshatriya, Brahmin, and householder families over whom I exercise command." So she was the chief queen, and as such, she had power over the people in the palace. And as well, we know, she doesn't mention it here, but she had great influence with her husband, right? Sitting next to the king, oftentimes giving him counsel. So she doesn't obsess about exactly what it was that she must have done to get into this situation. She just thinks, okay, these strong characteristics that I have, they must be related to karma, to things that I've done in the past. And then she uses this information wisely, because this is what we need to be doing. We need to associate with people that we can learn the Dhamma from, associating with the Buddha and learning his teachings. We need to investigate the teachings, and then we need to apply it to our own lives. So that's exactly what she does next. She says, "From today, Bhante, I will not be prone to anger and often exasperated. Even when I am criticized a lot, I will not lose my temper and become irritated, hostile, and stubborn. I will not display anger, hatred, and bitterness." So she takes this teaching on the results of bad action. And learning about the results of bad action is enough to give her the energy to give up that bad action and do wholesome action. So the Buddha said, some people, you can just talk to them about the benefit of doing good things, and that's enough. They only do good things. Some people, you need to talk to them about both the good things, or that you can just talk to them about the bad things, the bad actions and bad results. And that's what they need to give up doing those bad actions. Other people, a lot of people, most of us, need to hear about both sides. So here she's heard about both sides and seeing you know, looking at herself now, saying, you know, I see the results. I don't like looking this way. Let me from now on act in a way that I don't have to experience this result. So she sees the downside and determines to give up behavior that leads to that action, leads to that result. She says, "And I will give things to ascetics or Brahmins, food and drink, clothing and vehicles, garlands, scents, and lotions, bedding, dwelling, and light." So another very powerful intention. She sees how it is that she became so wealthy. And instead of thinking, well, all this is mine, I've earned this, right? Other people didn't earn it. I did. I obviously did good things in the past. Now it's all mine to enjoy. Right? She doesn't think that way. She thinks, you know, look at the power of generosity. Look at just how much happiness I can experience, not having to worry about being hungry, not having to worry about not getting good medicine or having shelter, having clothing, right? Why don't I give this same happiness to others, and in doing so, ensure that in the future, I'll also experience this happiness again, right? Because when we're in a position where we don't have enough to eat, when our shelter is very uncertain, right? When we don't have good medicine, when we don't have decent clothes to wear, it's very hard to have the opportunity to learn the teachings, to develop wholesome qualities. So this desire to practice generosity, knowing that it leads to comfort, right? It's not a greedy thing. It's just a fact that when we have material needs met, then we can work to develop the mind. And then her third determination, she says, "I will not be envious, one who envies, resents, and begrudges the gain, honor, respect, esteem, and homage, and worship given to others." So she sees that in the past, she must have acted in this way, being happy with good things happening to other people. And she sees how nice it is to have influence, right? It's nice to be able to tell people to do things and they just do them, right? A lot of people, they tell people to do things and they get ignored, right? Disobeyed, right? So when we look at, maybe we look at our children and we think, right? They never listen to me, right? We think, what's wrong with them, right? Or our employees, right? They never do what I say. We blame them. But we don't think, you know, how is it that nobody listens to me, right? I have good ideas. Nobody listens to me, right? This other person, right? They don't have a lot of education, but still everyone goes to them for their opinion, right? They have this influence over others. So Malika thinks, you know, I like this. It's nice to have people do what I say, right? And all I have to do is continue this habit that I had in the past of being happy when good things happen to other people, right? This is what the Buddha called mudita. So we do a lot of work practicing metta bhavana, so loving kindness meditation, but this mental action of rejoicing in the good things that happen to other people, the Buddha said, very powerful. And the good news is that, especially in a country like this, we look around and we can always see people who are experiencing good fortune, right? So now, the next time we're on the driving down St. Mary's, and we, you know, see this young kid in a Mercedes or Porsche. Crazy, the cars that you see around here. and the houses that you see, right? You go down, drive down Christie Road, unbelievable, the houses there, right? Even just driving around Winnipeg, we can see lots. And now we know, okay, when I see that, I have to think, you know, good for them. Maybe they didn't do anything good in this life, but in some previous life, they must have been generous. They must have given shelter to people. They must have given transportation to others. You know, how good it is that they get to experience comfort. Right? Very easy for us to become happy that way. Very easy for us to give up these thoughts of jealousy. Right? When somebody else gets the promotion at work that we wanted, right? Or somebody gets the gift that we wanted, right? Normally all we know is how to be sad because of that. But the Buddha taught, we can make this choice. We can say no. And it's not a, like, this is the thing. We can sort of pretend to be happy for other people, like, yeah, good for them. But really, to have that as an honest feeling, like, you know, surely they've done something to deserve that. Even if it's not in this life, then surely this, you know, especially if someone who clearly it doesn't seem like they deserve it from what we've seen of their life and their actions, we have to think, yeah, it can't be an accident. Surely they must have done something in the past. So Malika is able to use this teaching to apply it wisely to her own life, to think about her own circumstance, right? She doesn't get angry at someone because she doesn't feel like she's attractive. She just thinks, okay, this is karma, right? Past karma. We can't do anything about the past karma, right? So when we're experiencing results, we don't get angry. We don't look down on other people who are experiencing the results of past karma. We just think, yeah, karma, it's difficult. Or, yeah, karma, it can bring happiness. So, Malika praises the Buddha. She says, excellent, excellent. And again, she goes for refuge to the Buddha, just like we've gone for refuge today. So, now when we go about our lives looking at our own lives, looking at the lives of the people around us, we always have these reminders of good karma and bad karma. We always have these incentives, right? When we see a very beautiful person, now right away we can think, yeah, they must not have gotten angry to have led to this result. Let me not be angry, right? How nice that is. Now when we see beautiful people, it's our reminder not to be angry, right? When we see very influential people, it's our reminder to not be jealous. When we see people who are very wealthy, it's our reminder to be generous. So, having heard these teachings, these questions that Queen Malika asked an honest, devoted disciple, having heard the answers that the Buddha gave, may we too apply these teachings to our lives. May we live according to these instructions. Through the power of all this merit, may we too one day experience the supreme bliss of Nibbana in this Gautama Buddha's dispensation. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.